On this day 45 years ago, a little-known children's television show premiered featuring lovable puppets ranging from a giant yellow talking bird to a green furry trash can living curmudgeon named Oscar.
When it's my birthday, I hope that we get a cold rainy day so my presents get wet. I'll put some extra fish on my birthday cake and tell all my friends to go jump in the lake. My special way to spend my very special day. And that's the way it's always gonna be.
You can still see your old favorites like Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch, but over the years, Sesame Street has had to adapt to changing times and kids' viewing habits. Today, as we celebrate the show's 45th birthday, it's still popular and it's the longest-running children's television show in U.S. history.
Right now, we're joined by Julie Pullman-Tynan, professor and chair of Human Development and Family Studies at the UW-Madison, and she served as an advisor for Sesame Street. Julie, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, children's shows, you know, they come and go over the years, but Sesame Street has been a classic all these years, and kids are still watching it. How come?
I think because Sesame Street has done a wonderful job changing with the times. They've really tried to update what they do. Every year they look at the research about where kids are with their school readiness and other kinds of things. And then they also look at current events and what's happening in the world. And they try to develop new characters that kind of fit with the changing profile of kids. They offer new ways of viewing the show, and they develop content that's really responsive to kind of what kids are experiencing in our country and around the world, because they are really global.
What are a couple of the ways that the show looks different now than it did, say, 40, 45 years ago?
Sure. Well, they start with the same theme song, but it's a lot jazzier, and it has a lot of different images that are reminiscent of sort of like hip-hop and, you know, a little bit more modern urban culture. There are characters that have stayed the same. You know, they obviously still have the Muppets, and as you mentioned, like Oscar and Big Bird and Ernie and Bert, but there are new characters that have been developed as well. So there's Elmo, who came around, you know, in the 1980s, and there are different ones as well, like Abby Cadabby, who has an interesting backstory. She has divorced parents. There are new characters that are developed for special initiatives. Like there's a character called Kami, who is developed. She's HIV positive and is used in their show in Africa. There's another one called Alex, who has a parent who's incarcerated. And they also bring on stars and celebrities and people in popular culture who are, you know, with the times. So Michelle Obama has been on recently, Usher, Ricky Gervais, you know, other musical stars who keep it sort of up to date. And the appeal isn't just to kids, it's also to the parents, which I think is important as well, because if, you know, parents sometimes control their kids' viewing habits, and if there's something that's going to entertain and be appreciated by a parent, even if a three-year-old doesn't get it, that ends up being really important for its longevity.
Well, you know Sesame Street pretty well, in part because you served as an advisor on the Sesame Street workshop. What are some of the things that you worked on with the show?
So I was an advisor and still am on their resilience initiative. And what they did is based on different research that's been conducted is decide to focus on children's strengths, especially kids who are experiencing challenges like living in low-income urban areas. And so they focus on a number of different issues like divorce, bullying, parental incarceration. And so over the last 4 years, been able to help them develop content regarding parental incarceration, because that's one of the things I study. And then also we've been disseminating the materials for about a year now. And I'm also doing research, like I'm doing a randomized controlled trial in Wisconsin and Minnesota to test the efficacy of the materials. And they are a very research-based organization, so they often partner with academics. And, you know, Wisconsin has sort of a history with that, and just a couple years ago, people in the Comm Arts Department did a meta-analysis looking at the impact of Sesame Street across the world. And then we also have faculty who've consulted on their efforts to promote peace in Palestine. and develop a show specifically targeting kids in that region.
These are tall orders for a kids' TV show with Muppets on it. Does it really make a difference? Does it help build resilience for kids?
Yeah, actually. And it's the most extensively researched TV show that exists. And not every single study shows positive results, but by and large, the results of long-term longitudinal studies, meta-analyses, etc., find positive effects for kids. And so one example of this is at University of Massachusetts at Amherst, they did a study following kids. They initially looked at them when they were watching Sesame Street between the ages of 2 to 5 years old, and then they followed them into high school and even found effects of watching Sesame Street on high school outcomes like academic achievement, the time they spent reading, et cetera. Worldwide studies have shown positive effects not only on cognitive development, including literacy and numeracy, but also on knowledge about the world, health and safety, and how the kids have attitudes towards people who are different from them. So in a lot of different areas, it shows positive effects. And it is a tall order, but they've reached pretty high.
And part of this is that Sesame Street doesn't seem to be afraid to go to places that are difficult, that might not seem like the easiest terrain for kids' programming. You talked about the HIV character and children of divorce and incarcerated parents. And another of these that was pretty relevant at the time, especially on the East Coast, was dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. And we have a clip from that episode. This is Big Bird getting coming to terms with the fact that his nest has been destroyed after this hurricane, and Snuffleupagus coming up to try to comfort him.
Oh, why do you feel sad, Snuffy?
Because the hurricane messed up your beautiful home, Bird.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel sad, too. My nest, my home.
Say, Big Bird. Where does this phone go?
Oh, it used to be on that post right there.
Right there? Oh, okay.
Thanks, Gordon.
Gosh, Bert, you sure do have a lot of friends helping you clean up.
Yeah, they are fixing it all up for me.
Hey, Bert, that makes me feel happy.
Really?
Yeah, even though the hurricane blew away your nest, it didn't blow away your friends.
That's true, Snuffy.
So how do you thread the needle here, not freaking kids out about a natural disaster and yet dealing with it honestly and working through it like that?
Yeah, it is a balance. And I think one of the reasons that Sesame Street has been so effective is that kids see Muppets as other kids, but adults script them. And so they can, you know, unlike the usual 5-year-old or 6-year-old, the Muppets say things that are very supportive and sensitive and from a child's point of view. And another reason that they're so effective is that they also really consider parents. And so they have lots and lots of materials available for parents and messages for parents of how they can support their children, because they recognize that in the end, it's the parents' role that's so absolutely critical for children's emotional and social development and learning, that they really give parents some tools in order to sensitively talk about really difficult topics like natural disasters and how kids might feel about that and how, even though it's scary, they still can get support and kind of build their life back together.
And is that part of the appeal and maybe the ratings as well, is that parents want to watch it? It's not just that it's something that seems good and positive for their kids, but they themselves want to watch it.
I think a lot of parents do. I know, well, I was 2 when Sesame Street was developed, and so I watched it through my childhood. But then as a parent, I also really enjoyed seeing, you know, who they were going to have as guests, and I got the little inside jokes better than when I was 3. But also I think that watching some really positive, diverse adults interact with the Muppets and other kids on the show is great for role modeling. And so parents do want to watch it, but they also, I think, you know, kind of everybody thinks Muppets are really cute and fuzzy and adorable. And so there's just a general appeal and goodwill, and Muppets can say things that human beings can't in a way that's so appealing and supportive.
We're celebrating the 45th anniversary of Sesame Street and talking about how the show fits into the world of children's programming today.
And we'd love to hear from you. Did you watch the show growing up, or do you watch it now with your kids? How important was the show to your childhood or to your parenting? Have you seen it evolve over the years? Do you think it's still relevant for children?
Hi! Elmo's here with his good friend, Mr. LL Cool J.
Hey, what's up? We're about to go on an audition expedition. Want to come?
An audition expedition? What's that?
That's when you add them up. Let's go on an audition expedition. You don't have to be a mathematician.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about Sesame Street and how it's changed over time, evolved, as the show marks its 45th birthday today.
And you can join the conversation. Did you watch the show growing up, or do you watch it now with your kids? How important was it to you and to your children? And who are some of your favorite Sesame Street characters? Have you seen the show change and adapt over the years? Is it still relevant, do you think? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us a tweet at Central Time WPR.
We're talking with UW-Madison professor Julie Pullman-Tynan. She served as an advisor for the Sesame Street workshop. Well, Julie, one way that a lot of media have changed over the times is to adapt to the world of the internet. How is Sesame Street done as far as that goes?
I think they've done fabulously, and it's one of the reasons that they've stayed popular is that you don't just see them on TV. Most kids actually watch them through the internet or through an app or through YouTube. And so they've become way more interactive. They have extensive web presence through PBS Kids and then their own website, and I think that they've just become really rolled with the times and adapted new technologies to what they do.
Are there any significant challenges to Sesame Street going forward that the show, you know, it's been around for a long time and it has reinvented itself, but what does it need to look out for?
Some parents have said that their kids aren't as interested in it because it might focus on topics that, you know, are kind of old news or passé, but I think that that's not the norm. It is the most watched television show in the world. I think that continuing challenges will be to keep sort of a pulse on where young kids and their parents are. And so I think they try to do this by always bringing in new content, new advisors, new people. So, for example, they recently brought on their first American Indian live adult character. They've had some of the same ones over time, and they continue to try to be diverse, represent the cultures that they're in, and try to, you know, respond to current events. I think those are really key.
And how about all the competition now? There's such a fragmented media landscape. There are whole channels with cartoons or shows for kids. Has that been a problem for Sesame Street?
I think it's been a challenge in some ways, but a lot of these other shows end up being modeling themselves on Sesame Street and how they do it. And so I think they've just been such a trailblazer, and they're such a research-based, developed organization that it's not really serious competition and that they'll go away. It's actually good, and that they've had a widespread effect on what kind of media can help children.
Let's take a caller now. Martha joins us in Sun Prairie. Hi, Martha.
Hi.
What do you think?
I was calling because I'm a kindergarten teacher in Sun Prairie, and I grew up watching Sesame Street, and I personally don't like the newer ones. Like, I like the old classic stuff. But I do play the old classic clips. Like, when we're learning a letter, I'll play, like, the Sesame Street podcast for that letter of the day. And it has a lot of the old things. Like, kids just love, like, the old number ones with, like, the guy who, like, he's like, I'm going to paint a seven. And then he goes around and paints, like, a seven on the back of somebody's head or something. And
How do your kids like it?
They love it because the things I play from these clips are, the clips that I'll play for them off of YouTube are like the old ones, and they just think they're hilarious, and they think they're so different, and they wonder what that is. And it's something I think that it's really, it's nice because it seems so, like, it seems so wholesome or something. Like, they're 5 and 6 years old, and they are excited. You know, it is TV, and you think, well, I don't want them watching that much TV, but at least it's something where they, like, one of their favorite songs right now is this Belly Breeze song that Elmo sings with Common and, like, I can't remember, some girl. and like it's about how you calm down when you're feeling mad. And
so some useful stuff there for kids even today. Thank you so much, Martha, for that. And it sounds like her students still like it. And she is a fan of the older Sesame Street, not as much the newer. I wonder if that's a generational thing. If you grow up with Sesame Street a certain way, that's the way you want it to be.
It could be. But the video that she points to focusing on self-regulation skills, that's actually one of the
Elmo's
newer ones.
Elmo's newer, right.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe she likes both and she doesn't realize it.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Bob with us in Madison. Bob, hi.
Hi there. My understanding is that one of the original goals of Sesame Street was to close the achievement gap. And I'm wondering if that recently is still the case, and if so, how is if that's being attained?
Bob, interesting, and a big issue here in Wisconsin, Julie.
So it is true that one of Sesame Street's original goals was to particularly target kids who were in low-income communities where they had less opportunities for enriched early educational experiences. And the studies that have generally focused on kids' cognitive outcomes have found that there is a positive effect of watching Sesame Street on things like vocabulary development and other cognitive outcomes. And so it really isn't just about watching TV or not TV. It's about watching educational shows like Sesame Street that are really helping. But what we're also finding now is that about 50% of kids are not ready for school in the areas of social emotional learning and self-regulation and executive functioning, which is like planning ahead and paying attention and those kinds of things. And so now Sesame Street is trying to sort of change directions and try to focus more on those kinds of learning skills where there's still definitely very large gaps in achievement based on race and ethnicity.
Do people still think that Sesame Street has legs to go forward many years? It's been on 45 years is a long time for any TV show, you know, let alone, you know, this, it's kind of a cute, like she said, wholesome notion based on some of what you see there. Do you see it continuing for a long time into the future?
Oh, I do. And I think that Sesame Workshop is basically making plans to do that because they introduce new characters, new themes, new technologies, and they have characters that just continue even when the people who originated in the role, for example, like the Kevin Clash, the person who started Elmo, no longer does Elmo, but Elmo survives and Elmo goes on and someone else does him. Same with, you know, some of the other ones like Grover and Cookie Monster. And there's something about Muppets that's timeless. And so I think they do plan on going forward. And I really do think that there's an appeal that can go on for generations. And actually, one time I was talking with Bob, one of the original people characters on Sesame Street, and he says yes, they know they are having a generational effect because people who grew up with it want their kids to know that part of their childhood, and then grandparents now, and they call those sesame seeds. So they believe they plant them and that they will continue to thrive.
You mentioned earlier resources available for parents beyond the TV show. Does Sesame Street Workshop reach out with, I don't know, curricula for schools or reach out in communities? How do they do that, if so?
Yeah, they reach out in a number of different ways. They've actually developed what they call toolkits for a number of different organizations and issues. And so they've worked extensively with the U.S. military to develop toolkits for kids whose parents are in the military. And it also led to work with helping develop materials for parents and when kids are grieving the loss of a parent. And then they also have different curricula that you can either get online or as an app that can help both teachers, homeschoolers, and other kinds of educators working with young children on just basic things like letters, numbers, social, emotional development, those kinds of things.
So, Julie, you're a Sesame Street fan, along with being an advisor. Do you have a favorite moment over the years?
Oh, my favorite character is Grover, and my favorite scene is Super Grover when he flies around and then crashes into things. It's very funny.
That's a good one.
All right. Well, Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking about Sesame Street's 45th birthday. You can keep sharing your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page. You've been hearing Julie Pullman-Tynan. She's a professor and chair of human development and family studies at the UW-Madison.